right, amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you so much. Take your Bibles this morning to turn to the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians chapter number one, book of Philippians chapter number one. Thank you, praise team. Appreciate the singing this morning. Love that song. My chains are gone. I have been set free. Praise the Lord for what he has done for us. And we'll kind of continue that theme a little bit as we look through Philippians chapter number one. Verse number six is where we find ourselves this morning. I told you last week that we would kind of develop verse number six a little more as we get into the book of Philippians. And as we begin to look at this, we'll realize quickly that this is a portion of Scripture that certainly is going to encourage us. It certainly helps us understand that it's not all about us, because sometimes as Christians we believe that we get grace at salvation, that God gives us his grace, as Ephesians 2 says, that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But sometimes in the lives of Christians, we think that we got grace at salvation, and then God kind of winds us up a little and sends us off on our own. Well, this verse is a reminder that not only do we have the grace of God, the power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, and the strength of God at salvation, but we also see these same things carrying out through our lives as we receive the Holy Spirit. And so Christian living and living as a Christian is not something that is done on our own, but something that is done by the power of God. I think it's amazing that so many Christians today try to live for God without God, and try to live with the power of God without God's power in their strength and their life. It wasn't that terribly long ago that I began to understand these truths, because oftentimes, as a pastor, as a young Christian, we want to do things by our own strength and by our own ability. And when I begin to understand that the Christian life is actually empowered by God and not by myself, and to recognize that the leading of the Holy Spirit, which some people call a still small voice, actually is much louder in my life, and that the direction of the Holy Spirit can be very clear and is clear. And so this portion of Scripture is going to remind us of all these things. And so in Philippians chapter 1, the Bible says this in verse 6, being confident. I like that word. I am sure of something. I'm confident of something. Being confident of this very thing, that he, that's speaking of God, which began a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm confident of this very thing, that he which began this work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but you know I enjoy asking for audience participation. But you can just answer this in your own mind. Have you ever started a project and not finished it? Have you ever read a book halfway? Have you ever been halfway through a remodel or abandoned a resolution by February? Oftentimes we have things in our life that we start and we don't complete. We have things that we have sought to do, and we often will say things like, well, I'll get around to it, or I'll get back to it. And I hope no husbands were elbowed when I just mentioned that, because usually the husband is the one that has that project halfway through, and that there's something they have not completed. I know there's things at my house, certainly, that are halfway through and not completed. But here, the book of Philippians is going to remind us, the author, the Apostle Paul, is going to tell us that even though we experience lack of completion in our life, that God empowers us and moves us forward in the direction he would have us to go through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so honestly, as we recognize from this portion of Scripture that nothing is left undone, that God is working, that God is moving, and even in moments of our life where we feel discouraged, or we feel forgotten, or we feel that God is not working as he once did, even in those moments, that they can all be working together, as he says, to do a good work in us, as he is moving us to be made into the image of Jesus Christ. So just a reminder of what we're talking about here. Paul writes the believers in Philippi with deep joy, even though he's in prison at this time. And he's going to remind them of these important and powerful truths. Our salvation and our spiritual growth do not ultimately depend upon our ability and our ability to finish, but on God's faithfulness to finish His work. Remember the old children's song, and I won't sing it much, all right? But where he says, he's still working on me to make me all, that's it, okay? That's as far as I'll go, that I ought to be, right? And so he's still working on me, that God is working in our lives. And that's what this verse is reminding us, that he that began a good work. And just to start dealing with just this line here in verse number 6, he's confident of this very thing, which he that began a good work. Well, what's he mean by that? What does it mean that he that began this work? Paul is reminding them that God is the author of salvation. Salvation is God's plan. The redemption of man is God's plan. Genesis 3:15 tells us that God had planned to send his son to redeem man as soon as sin had come into the world in the book of Genesis as Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And so the author is reminding us that this work of the salvation of mankind, that God is the author of that. That God has designed it. It was God's plan to redeem us. It was God's plan to send his son. It was God's plan to provide forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. Salvation began with God's initiative. God brought forth his son, Galatians 4:4 says. In the fullness of time, he sent forth his son. So the author of Philippians is reminding them that God is working and God is moving, that God brought and began a good work in them through the work of Jesus Christ. In other words, let me just say it this way, just in one quick line, and maybe this will help you understand it. In other words, Christianity is not self-improvement, it is total transformation by the power of God. That's what he's getting at. Salvation is not just self-improvement, but total transformation, divine transformation by the power of God. And we see that God changes lives. Your life has been changed because of Christ. God has transformed us by his power, and he has begun a good work in us. Well, what is that work? Well, the work could be salvation, referring to the work of God in salvation. It could be understood as spiritual growth. And ultimately, this work that has begun, that God is continuing in, is God shaping the very character of Christ into our lives. That's what a Christian is, by the way, okay? It's God shaping the very character of Christ into our lives. One of my favorite verses from Galatians 4, I had you memorize it a few weeks ago, that Paul says he labors and travails until Christ is formed in us. God is working. God's work is not accidental. It is intentional. God's work is not accidental. It is intentional. Being confident of this very thing, that he began a good work in you, he will perform it. So we also remind that as we look at this verse, that God's work in our life is present and ongoing. God's work in our life is present and ongoing. You know what that tells me about God? God is not a distant creator who wound up the clock and walked away. He is actively working in the life of believers each and every day. Even when you can't see what God is doing, I believe according to Philippians 1:6 that God is working and that God is moving. Let me give you a few examples of some of the things God can use to form us and to shape us. Sometimes these things we view as negative, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes we can view trials as negative. We say, God's forgotten about me, I'm going through this trial. Let me just ask you, you don't have to raise your hand again, who's ever learned something from God through a trial? We all have, haven't we? Sometimes it is that refiner's fire and that trial that we go through that we begin to quit depending upon ourselves, and we recognize that even trials in our lives can be the working and the moving of God. He that began a good work in you, he says, will complete it. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so what that reminds me of, church, is that there's times I've been complaining, not recognizing it was the very work of God in my life as he was teaching me, informing me, and molding me, even through difficult times. There's times when there's been hardships in my life. You know of my health problems that I've had. You know of the kidney cancer that I experienced and the surgery that I had and the hardship I had to go through that. And through that time, to recognize that God was working and that he was not done and that he was molding me and producing humility in my heart and an utter dependence upon God that I would have never had outside of the trials that I went through with some of my health, where basically you begin to say, God, I have you, and I only have you, and I'm dependent upon you in all things, and I'm going to believe that you began this work in me, and you're going to continue to work this in me until the day of Jesus Christ. So even trials can be used in our lives for God to mold and to make us into what he wants us to be. The Holy Spirit uses Scripture. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the Word of God is sharp and quicker than any two-edged sword. We see God uses Scripture. He uses prayer. He can use relationships. And sometimes he can even use our failures in our lives to mold us into the image of Christ. But all these things put together, it reminds me of this, that no matter what I may think or whatever my perception may be, I can be reminded God is working in my life. And I can be reminded, as Romans 8 says, that all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes as God is working in our life, it can feel like pruning instead of planting, or refining instead of rewarding, or stretching instead of strengthening, but we know that God is still working. You know why? Because God knows the blueprint. We're reminded that times when we see things being built, we may not understand everything that is taking place, but there is a plan and there is a blueprint. When Karis went up to play her basketball district championship up in Cripple Creek, they were doing the ice sculptures at the time, right? And they had these just blocks of ice. And you're like, you know, what are you going to do with that? You know, it's just a square rectangle thing of ice. And then you begin to walk around and you see there the sculptors. And one of them had a little chisel and they were going, you know, slowly. And another one of them had, you know, some more electric type tools. That's the job I would have wanted, right? More electric type tools. And they're grinding away at this thing. And as you keep walking down, you see someone has made a beautiful angel out of the ice, and someone has made something else out of it. And at the very beginning, you're like, wow, it's just a square block of ice. And then you keep going on down, and you see, look what the sculptor has made. Sometimes we in our lives can say, well, what's God going to do with me? I'm just a square block of ice. But see, what Philippians 1:6 is saying is this, is that God, he knows who you are, he knows where you are, he knows everything about you, and he is working, and he is sculpting, and he is moving, and you are not forgotten, and he is going to take these things that you're going through, and he's going to make something beautiful out of them. Because he says, I'm confident of this, that he that began the work, he's going to complete it. He's not left, he's not walked away. You're not forgotten, that God is still working. As I've already said, with ice, a sculptor may chip away at a block of marble. To an observer, that chipping away looks destructive. But the artist, the sculptor, sees the masterpiece. And you know what God is doing as he is sculpting, he is molding. He is chipping away all the things that don't look like Christ until Christ is seen in our lives. This pride that we can get, God's going to chip those things away. This bitterness that we can have in our heart, God's going to begin to chip those things away. He's doing a work in you. On and on we can go. And the Holy Spirit is working, and God is molding us into the very image of Christ. So speaking of the Holy Spirit, take your Bibles and go to the book of 2 Corinthians. So you have to ask yourself, how does God do this molding? How do these things take place? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. Monty's so quick on that computer now, he always beats me to the passage. And I've told you before, as a pastor, you usually have a trick that you do to try to beat the congregation to the passage. And you'll notice I do this. I'll give you book and chapter, right? No verse. Then I give you book, chapter again, no verse. That's on purpose, because I'm trying to get there first, all right? I know where I'm going. And then the third time when I say it, I give you book, chapter, and verse. And by that time, if I'm not there, we got problems, all right? And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse number 18, he says this, "But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord," he says, "are changing into the same image from glory to glory." Okay? Changing, moving. God is forming an image, not just any image, the very image of Christ. And he says, how does God do this? At the end of verse number 18, "even as by the Spirit of the Lord." No wonder the Apostle Paul says, "quench not the Spirit." No wonder the Apostle Paul says, "grieve not the Spirit of God," because the Spirit of God is leading us and molding us into the image of Christ. Go to Ephesians now, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3 and verse number 16. I'll go ahead and give you that. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16. And we're going to read about four verses here all the way down to verse number 20. But look at what he says here. The Apostle Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. And he says in verse number 16 that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. By who? By the Spirit in the inner man. Okay, you do know that's where the Spirit of God works, right? On the inner man. That's what God is interested in. God wants your heart. He wants who you really are. God's not interested in fake morality, fake imagery. He wants the inside. He wants your heart. And so he says, Paul is praying in verse number 16. He says, "I pray that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit on the inner, in the inner man." And then he says in verse 17, that Christ, he says, would dwell. You know what the word dwell means? It means to be at home. When you dwell somewhere, you are at home somewhere. Oftentimes, the reason we do not see the work and the power of Christ in our life is because Christ is not at home in our life. We've put him off in a side room. I see Lynn has a bracelet on. I noticed it while we were singing. WWJD, is that what that says on it? What would Jesus do, right? And so in our lives, do we ask ourselves in our responses, in our reactions, in our the way we treat, the way we act, the way we love, are we allowing Christ to dwell? Is it Christ that's coming out, or is it ourselves and our own power? So the Apostle Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he says, "I'm praying the Spirit of God would work on the inner man, and you would be empowered by the Spirit of God, and that Christ would be at home, that he would dwell, that he would control, that he would fill your entire life, that he would dwell in your hearts by faith, and being rooted and grounded in love. And then as Christ is dwelling," this is a whole other sermon, but I'm stuck here for now, okay? In verse number 18, "that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints." And then, boy, it gets good. When Christ is dwelling, when God is moving and God is working, he says, "you begin to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know," he says, "the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled," and here it is, "with what? The fullness of God." God is doing a work in our life to fill us with himself, that we'd be filled with the fullness of God. And just in case you're wondering from verse number 19, how in the world does that happen? He says in verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," look at this, "how does he do it? According to the power that worketh in us." God is shaping us through the working of the Holy Spirit. Even Romans 8 tells us that he prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In Romans 8:26 says this concerning the Spirit of God, as he says, "And we know," Romans 8:26, "likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints." And then finally, go to Galatians 5, and then we understand the working of the Holy Spirit, and you don't even need to read that, but the working of the Holy Spirit begins to produce fruit. And then the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Galatia, gives a list of the fruit, as he says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace." That's the filling, the working of the Holy Spirit. And it all comes back to Philippians 1:6, where he says, "He that began the good work will complete it." The Spirit of God is working and moving in our life to produce the very fruits of the Spirit that are not of us, but that are of God. That we look and we act and we imitate the very God that we represent through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Josh, I'm assuming that you have this question. I don't know if you do or not, but you may ask, all right, I want the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. I recognize that God is performing in me, and it's the power of God. How do I then see the working of the Holy Spirit? You're already in the book of Romans, but go to Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 13. Here's the key to it all right? It's so simple, it's almost unbelievable what the Bible says. Because sometimes we see, I want the working of the Holy Spirit. I want Christ to be, I want to be molded in the image of Christ. There has to be something amazing I have to do. How many times do I need to be at church a week, right? That's going to do it. How much do I have to give to the offering? Maybe that'll be the working of God. Or I'm going to make sure I speak in very holy language, right? No, that's not it. You know what it actually is? He says in verse number 13 of Romans 6, "Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin," but he says this, "but yield yourself unto God." You know what the word yield means? I found it yesterday on the way to the airport, right? It means you give place to someone else. You're driving down the road. I know some of you men. I know, I can just see that as we drive, you know, maybe you're out on Interstate 25, and here comes the person up the exit ramp, right? And your wife's like, "Honey, honey, honey," right? And you're like, they have the yield sign. I'm fine right here. They can move around me, or they can go behind me. Any of you men like that? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm seeing some looks, all right? And so the idea of yielding means to give place to, right? So if you're on the on-ramp, right, and there's an 18-wheeler out here in the slow lane, you coming up have to give place. This is driver's ed, okay? You have to give place to the person that's already in that lane, right? This is what happens with a lot of Christians. We do not yield to the working of God. We do not give place. The Bible says, don't give place to sin. Don't yield your life, your body, your instruments to sin. No, that's not God's plan. God desires for us to yield our instruments, our lives, our body to God. So when we really begin to see this work of God in our life is when we begin to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, the Holy Spirit is second thought to us, right? I'm going to do my best. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do these things. And every now and then, maybe I'll hear from the Holy Spirit for a little checkup. No. The Holy Spirit should be the driver, the direction of our life. He says, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. We give place to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In other words, respond to the Spirit's direction. Husband, you ever said something to your wife and the Holy Spirit convicts you like that? And you're like, she deserved it. That is not yielding to the Holy Spirit, all right? Have you ever wanted to do something or say something or go somewhere and you know in your heart the Holy Spirit is saying, that is not what I have for you. That is not my plan for you. That is not my will for you. And you respond, well, I deserve this. This is what I'm allowed to do, right? And these things, that's not yielding to the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be in yielding to the Holy Spirit because He's doing a work in your life. Because He's completing what He has started. And sometimes we resist the working of God. And I can say that because I know I have, and I would imagine each of us at some point in our life has as well. Galatians, one of my favorite verses that you know I've quoted to you many times. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. How do I yield to the Holy Spirit when I have so many desires of my own? Well, Galatians 2:20 tells us that. He says, I am crucified with Christ. You know what that means? You know what happens to something that's crucified? It dies. So what do I need to die to? I need to die to my own self and my own desires, and I need to be alive under the power of God. As he says in verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, my life as a Christian is not my own. I'm dying to my old self. I want to be alive under the power of God and the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. Because if you've noticed, our flesh still has an opinion at times, doesn't it? Can I get a witness? Right? It has an opinion. But God says, we can be crucified to the flesh and alive and live by the power of God. Christian, I'm telling you, when I begin to understand these things, I'm going to tell you the truth. Being a Christian is fun. It's fun. Because you scared me for a second. All right, it's being fun because you begin to realize it's not about you. It's about God and His power in you, and Him making you, and Him forming you, and Him leading you in the direction that He wants you to go. And you can begin to rest because we are so guilty of trying to put it all on us. And God is saying, do you not remember what I said? That I started this work, and I'm going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm working in your life, and what I'm asking you to do is this. I want you to yield to my Spirit. And allow the Spirit of God to work and to move in your life. The word complete means to finish fully, to perfect, to accomplish the intended purpose. God will carry it on. I'm confident of this, he says, that God is working. So spiritually, I know we understand the struggles remain and habits linger and faith sometimes feels weak, but we can be assured that God is working in our life. Four quick applications and we're done. The working of the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit, living for God by God's power and not your own. I told the story and maybe I've told it here. I told it in the men's breakfast about, you ever seen those strongman competitions, right? And this guy was going to do this big feat as a strong man. And so he got a 747 jet, right? And he hooks himself to it. And I was like, man, this is awesome. This is amazing. So he goes out on the runway and he starts pulling this jet forward. And everyone's like, wow, that's amazing. And I thought to myself, that ain't so cool. You say, well, Josh, that's kind of mean, isn't it? No, it's not mean. Because you know what? That jet is meant for a lot more than being pulled 100 feet down a runway. That jet has four engines on it. You crank those things up, it's going to take off, and it'll go around the world with the power that jet has on it. You know what? That's how we act as Christians sometimes. We're walking around pulling a 747. Oh, I'm doing so good. Oh, my own power. Look, here it comes. No, no, Christian. You're meant to take off through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're meant to do a lot more than pull that thing down a runway. God has given you a life through His power that will take off as you live for Him. And you can do great things through the power of the Holy Spirit because God is doing a work. Four applications quickly. Be encouraged when you feel weak. God's not finished. Be encouraged when you feel weak because God is not finished. He says, remember verse 6, I'm confident of this very thing, that He that began a good work in you will perform it at the day of Christ. Be encouraged. God's not finished. Be patient. Be patient as you grow. Sanctification is a process, and God is chipping away in your life. He's molding. He's making. Like the children's song, He's still working on me. Boy, I tell you, God's still working on me. I know that. He's working in my life. He's still trying to make me a better husband, trying to make me a better pastor, trying to make me a better father, right? I wish He'd give me some more muscles because I'm scared of Carter now. But anyway, you know, trying to make me a better father, right? And so be encouraged when you feel weak because God's not finished. Be patient in your growth because sanctification is a process. God's working, He's molding, and be willing to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. And this one, think of this for just a moment. Extend grace to others. If God is still working on you, He might still be working on others too. So we can extend grace to other people as well. Who on here loves to be patient? You real patient, right? Or is fast food too quick? Is 45 too slow? Is 45 seconds in the microwave seem like an eternity, right? You know, I don't know why that is. We make our coffee, we have to boil water, and I stand there, I'm like, how long does it take? I mean, can you not boil already, right? We can be impatient. But let me just be reminded, we extend grace to others because if God is working on you, He's working on them too. And sometimes we think it's our responsibility to be like, you know, to say, this, you know, and maybe God would call us to do that at times, but God is working on His children. Let Him continue His work. And then number four, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward because you recognize, even though we may stumble, but the direction of your life is what matters most, and God is moving you in a direction because He has promised in verse number 6, I am confident of these very things, that He that started the work will complete it until the day of Christ. God's working on me. He's working on you. Isn't it nice to know that the God of the universe is active in our lives? Isn't it nice to know that He's not wound us up and walked away, that God is doing a work in our lives? One more illustration. Imagine a master painter working on a canvas. Up close, you can only see the messy strokes and confusing colors, but step back and a masterpiece becomes clear. Right now in your life, you may be inside the brush strokes, but God sees the finished painting. The artist never abandons the canvas. Philippians, he says, I'm confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will complete it, will perform it, as he says, until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's yield to His power. Let's allow Him to do the work that He desires in our lives. Let's bow our heads together for just a moment this morning. Miss Leslie's going to come and play a song for us on the piano. Let's just take a moment to talk to the Lord together. It's about Him. It's about His work. about what he's doing. Maybe you're here today and you just need to say, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I believe. I'm just going to start by believing you're working. I don't know everything that's going on, but I want to believe you're working in my life. And the trials, the difficulty, the hardship, I'm going to recognize that you may be using those to form me and to make me into the person you want me to be. Maybe you're here today and you just simply need to say, Spirit, I want to yield to you. I've had my own place. I've done my own thing long enough. I want to yield to your direction because I believe God's working in my heart. And I'm going to trust him to lead me where he'd have me to go. Take a moment. Just talk to the Lord today. Back up here at this time. Let's stand to our feet. We'll do our final verse together. I really wanted to spend more time preaching on this verse, but I thought I would explain it to you before we... There it is. Ephesians 2:10. The Bible says there in verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Many of you maybe know this, but the Greek word for workmanship there is the same word we get our word poem from. It would be, we are his poeo, is what that word is. So when you think of a poem, you think of the author writing that poem and writing that and putting those lines together. And so when you read verse number 10, we recognize that we are God's poem. He is working, he is moving, and he is writing the story of our life as we yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's read this verse together. Ready? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word of God. Thank you that we're not alone. Thank you that you're always with us. Thank you for the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. May we, Lord, may we be yielding every day to the work of the Holy Spirit. May we acknowledge that you that began this work in us will complete it unto the day of Christ. We trust you. We believe in you. We depend upon you, Father. Thank you for being active in our lives. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. And give us the grace and the strength every day to yield to the leading, the prompting, the direction of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Be with those that aren't feeling well today. Be with Molly and others. Be with those dealing with cancer and other illnesses. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of them. Lord, for the remainder of this week and those to come, we pray, God, that you would work mightily in our midst. Be with our country, president, our soldiers, and those in harm's way. Protect them. We thank you, God, for who you are and all you've done. We trust in you and believe in you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.